Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. With school out for the summer, many children and young adults in our region are heading to summer camp, and their parents are remembering the summers they spent sleeping in cabins and consumed by things like color wars. My guest is local historian and author Howard Blue, who is here to tell us about the Rolof Janssen Historical Society's exhibit, Swimming, Singing, and S'mores, 120 years of camps in the Mid-Hudson Valley. The exhibit is in Copaic Falls and runs from July 4th, Columbus Day, from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. And let me just add, bring your bathing suits because you may want to go swimming, you know, up there. You got Bash Bish Falls and all the rest of it. So have fun, everybody. Howard, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to hear your voice, Alan.
Howard, how did this all come together, this exhibit?
Well, I have been working on a photo history project of Copaic for 3 years and have given a couple of talks about the history of the town. And then last August, I was invited to be on the board of the Rojan Historical Society, which deals not only with Copaic, but also the history of Hillsdale and Ankrum and a couple of other towns. And they had already decided on this topic. And I said, well, you know, what are you going to do about it? When are you going to start? And having opened my mouth, they said, how would you like to coordinate it?
Natch.
Bingo.
Yeah, Natch. So, Howard, that's very interesting. You know, one of the reasons I was so interested in this, of course, is that, you know, I spent all of those years, many, many years, at Camp Bronx House Emmanuel in Copaic itself, 640 beautiful acres. And for me, it was what college was for others because I went to a city college, to Hunter. And I wonder, is that a universal experience that you're detecting, that this is just more than the concept of, quote, summer camp?
Oh, it is. I've been in touch with the alumni of a number of the camps. In fact, they let me come onto their Facebook pages for the alumni for various camps. And there's tremendous nostalgia about the experience. And it's, in some ways, it's the nostalgia about the innocence of youth and growing up and all the things that happen to people when they're young, first experience of this and that, first love, or, you know, first girlfriend, first boyfriend.
Indeed.
So, yes, there's tremendous feeling and sentiment about the camp experience among these people.
Do you think there's anything different about our summer camps up here, the ones that you and I went to, than, you know, everybody else's summer camps?
Well, it's hard to say. My experience was rather limited. I had 2 weeks at the age of 8 in an overnight camp, so I couldn't develop the strong attachment that some of these people had who started at camp at age 8 and went through their teens and became counselors in training and counselors. But I don't know quite how to answer that. I went to Boy Scout camp, too, and I have some great feelings of nostalgia about that, about learning to swim early on, about making friends, about, you know, dealing with nature. So I can't answer it like that, but I can say that there were some great camps here at that time in the Rojan area in Columbia County, and there are some very good camps, not as many. Camp Scatico still exists in Elizaville. There's another camp called Eagle Hill, Pontiac, which is...
across the lake from Bronx House. And by the way,
yes,
Bronx House still exists, although they unfortunately changed the name because the clientele moved from the Bronx to Westchester. So now it's Camp Berkshire Hills or something
right,
like that. Yeah. Why do camps close?
Well, obviously, you know, finances were the driving force. Some people just, I thinking of one couple who ran one of the camps, just ran out of energy because running a camp is a very,
very
onerous responsibility. You really literally have responsibility for the life, lives and the security and the safety of the kids in your charge. So that was part of it. I think the models of the camps changed also. The couple of camps that are doing extremely well right now have large numbers of kids. They have very sophisticated program. They've got go-kart tracks. They've got climbing walls, which was not at all the case when these camps first began. Pontiac and Scatico began in the 1920s, a very different time. Barrington, which no longer exists, closed in the 70s. Camps Barrington and Rota, owned by the same initial founders, they showed films in the 1920s. They were showing silent films.
Yeah, but don't you think, Howard, that there were such things? I don't want to be too definitive here, but weren't there what we call rich kids' camps and poor kids' camps? The Jewish Federation had Bronx House, and we loved working there because it meant something to us that we were doing important work.
Yeah, there were and are still differences. There were the privately run camps for profit, and some of them varied in terms of, I call it social consciousness. There was a camp called Oleana, which was really heavily influenced by the civil rights movement.
Yep.
And they got scholarships for kids. They brought kids up, African-American kids up from Mississippi. They brought some Cherokee Indian kids from Oklahoma. And even though they were privately run camp, they were close to this other model that you're talking about. The model that you went to, Bronx House Camp and Greenwich House Camp in Copaic Falls, were both sponsored by settlement houses. And as you know, these were agencies that were first founded early in the 20th century to try to help newcomers, immigrants, adjust to their communities. Our exhibit is largely a photo exhibit, and we've got some terrific old black and white photos of the kids in these camps, of the founders, of some of the places around Copaic and some of the other towns. We have an 1895 photo of Bashbish Falls with people in period outfits.
Wow.
So I think that regardless of whether you ever had something to do with camp, went to camp, or never had anything to do, you'll love seeing some of these photos. We've got an old photo from the flapper era of the Craryville train station. There's a bunch of 20-somethings and early 30-somethings coming up from New York City and elsewhere to Craryville, and they're on the way to an adult camp that was on the island in Copaic Lake. It was called Camp Copaic. And it's a terrific photo, black and white, and you see the women in the flapper hats, you know, those kinds of sitting hats. So I wanted to emphasize that.
Okay, for those people who don't know where Copaic Falls is, it's worth a ride, and it's quite easy to get to. Why don't you describe how somebody would get there? For example, if you're coming from the west, you would take Route 23, right? And you'd make a right turn on Route 22, and you'd go to the, on your left-hand side, you'd see a sign for Copaic Falls, right?
Yeah, if you're coming from Great Barrington through South Egremont.
From the east.
Get on 23, you're heading west. You come to Route 22, make a left going down south, and it comes up just in a couple of miles. You'll see the sign for Copaic Falls. And by the way, Alan, there's three big attractions there. People can make a day of it.
Sure.
Number one, there's our museum exhibit, and I think that's going to keep a lot of people there for perhaps as much as an hour. Even though it's a small museum, we've got things arranged very nicely. The second thing is right near our museum, which is a former church, by the way. If you go into Copaic Falls, which is a very small town, you can't miss it. It's right across the street from the Conic Wayside Inn. Okay, right near there, within walking distance, is the Ironworks. And that's they have a museum there, which has recently been completed. And it's about the iron mining operation and iron processing operation that went on in the late 19th century. And then the third thing is they walk up to Bashbish Falls itself, which is a beautiful walk. You might take the car up the road and you'll see the signs, and then park there, and you've got about a 15 to 20 minute walk
through the woods.
Through the path, through the woods, and then you come to this beautiful waterfalls. Now, technically, it's in Massachusetts, but I, at least in Copaic, like to claim that it's really Copaic's falls that we sort of
Well, you're just wrong. as a Massachusetts resident, I say that.
Okay.
But no, it's great. It really is. It also used to be quite dangerous. You'll be amazed by this fall because it's quite beautiful. But there was always, back in the day, there were a couple of kids who just died from diving off the highest point there.
Well, we've got a story in the exhibit, along with that 1895 photo of Bashbish Falls. We've got a story about a kid who went to Camp Firozdil, and they called him Turtles Newman. His actual name is Arnold Newman. He's now a naturalist. And one of the camp employees, not a counselor, brought him and several other fellows to the falls, and he had them rock hopping from one boulder to another.
Hmm.
And the guy, you know, he really didn't have a great sense of responsibility, and he...
Turtles or the counselor? Turtles,
the employee. He wasn't the counselor.
Yeah.
And he said to Turtles, he said, jump, you can make that one. Well, guess what?
He didn't.
Turtles jumped, and his foot hit the side of the mossy side of the rock, and he started to plunge down, and who knows what would have happened. This employee, just at the last second, grabbed Turtles by the wrist, because the kid had put his hands up above his head as he was yelling, and he saved him.
And is that how he got his name, Turtles?
No, he got his name because he loved nature, and he had a particular fondness for turtles up at Upper Rhoda Pond, and he still likes to sign his name Turtles.
Well, I have to say, one thing that is very important to me, I've been correcting people on this for years. I don't know, it's probably the popular rock and roll song, but it is Bash Bish, and A comes before I, and that's how you remember it, it's Bash Bish. But a lot of people, and you always know they're a rookie, because they come up to you and say, I was up at your Bish Bash Falls, and that's just wrong.
Well, such is life, Alan. We have to deal with that. I just want to mention something else. Although this exhibit is largely about the kids' camps and the ones that we've talked about, there's some other variety in there. I mentioned the adult camp at Camp Kopek from the 1930s and 40s.
Sure. And at Bronx House, adult camp at Bronx House.
Yes.
Yeah, geriatrics camp.
In addition to the regular kids' camps, there's a couple of camps for kids with special needs. And there's quite a story there. One of them is called Camp Sundown. And Camp Sundown is for kids who have a very serious disease called XP, xeroderma pigmentum. They cannot be in the sun.
Mm.
If they go into the sun, they develop blisters on their skin, which can turn into cancers. A lot of these kids die long before what we would consider a natural lifespan. So these kids play outside only at night. And we've got some wonderful photos of that camp. We've got our photos from a wide variety of people. In this case, there's a woman who made a film about the disease at the camp, and she lent from Israel, and she lent us a couple of her photos for the exhibit.
Okay, now, Howard, we are out of time. We've gone longer than we thought we would because it's such an interesting story. But once again, give us all the details.
Okay. It's an exhibit about 120 years of camping in the Bash Bish area, which is in Columbia County, not too far from Great Barrington. It's at the Roelof Janssen Historical Society Museum, a former church in Kopek Falls. Okay. People want to go there because you're going to see some great photos. You're going to see some fascinating signage about stories. And it'll be available from July 4th through October 12th on Saturdays and Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m.
Howard, if somebody wants to get in touch with you and to tell you about their experiences or offer you photos.
Okay, I'll give out my email address, which is memrevs@gmail.com. That's mem as in memory, M-E-M, R for red, E for eager, V for Victor, and S for Sam. memrevs@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to respond to any questions and so on.
Well, Howard, we've been speaking with you about the Roelof Janssen Historical Society's exhibit, Swimming, Singing, and S'mores, 120 Years of Camps in the Mid-Hudson Valley. The exhibit in Kopek Falls runs from July 4th to Columbus Day from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. Howard, thanks for being with us. I'm Alan Chartok. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Thank you, Alan.